ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ईशावास्यमिदगुं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगद्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथामागृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्देह कर्माणि जिजीविशेक्षतगोसमाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूर्यानामते लोका अन्धेन तमसा भृताः तादृस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये केचात्महनो जनाः अये जदेकं मनसो जवीयो नैन देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् सद्धावतोऽन्यानव्ये वितिष्ठत्तस्मिन् नभो मातरिष्वा दधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्दिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानं ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मैवाभूद्विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोक एकत्वमनुपश्यतः सपर्यदा शुक्रमकायमव्रणमस्नाभिरगुं शुद्धमपापविद्धम् कवेर्मनीषी परिभूस्वयं भूयाथा सत्यतोर्धान्यदधाच्छाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये विद्यामुपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमोय उविद्यायागुरताः अन्यदेवाहुर्विद्यया अन्यदाहुरविद्यया इति शुश्रुमधीराणां येन तद्विचक्षिरे विद्यां चाविद्यां च यस्तद्वेदोभयगुंसः अविद्यया मृत्युं तीर्त्वा विद्यया मृतमश्नुते अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये सम्भूतिमुपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमोय उसम्भूत्यागूढताः अन्यदेवाहुः सम्भवा అన్యదాహురసం భవత్ ఇతి శుశ్రుమధీరాణాం యేనస్తద్విచ చక్షిరే సంభూతిం చ వినాశం చ యస్తద్వేదో భయగో సః వినాశేన మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా సంభూత్యా మృతమశ్నుతే హిరణ్మయేన పాత్రేణ సత్యస్యాపి హితం ముఖం తత్వం భూషన్న పాదృణు సత్యధర్మాయ దృష్టయే భూషన్నే
హరి ఓం గురుజీ.
హరి ఓం. హరి ఓం. Hariyom, Hariyom, everyone. The introduction to Upanishad itself is said, the term Upanishad means giving the knowledge of the self which is near to us, and it gives it with clarity and firmness, nishchaya, and by giving that knowledge clearly to us, and by gaining that knowledge, we overcome the samsara. Shad means going beyond samsara. That's what the term Upanishad means. Knowing about the Atma, the true self, our attachment to the fake personality and the Maya dissolves. Thereafter, there is no more samsara. So the mission in life for every human being is God realization or self realization only. Now you may ask me, how do you say that? People may know it, may not know it, but what they are actually searching for, everybody is searching for only one thing. What is that? That is happiness or pleasure or joy or sukham, bliss, whatever you want to call it. Everybody is trying to get that one. Since they believe that they can get that happiness, and when they say happiness, what kind of happiness they want? Uninterrupted, infinite bliss is what they want. So they believe that they can get it from the material objects, so they run after material objects. Some people believe that they can get it from people, so they run after people, contacts. Some people run after knowledge. I want to gain more and more information. It could be worldly or spiritual, doesn't matter. But in all these aspects, people are running to find the happiness. They think by adding 1 to 1 to 1, 1 plus 1 plus 1, they will reach infinite. It doesn't happen that way. They get disappointed. So actually, what we are searching for is that infinite happiness. So what Vedanta says is, that infinite happiness is your original nature, yourself. Anything normal or natural is not a matter of complaint. You will not take an appointment with an eye specialist and go to him and say, okay, what have you come here for? You won't tell him that, sir, I came to tell you that my eyes are, I'm able to see everything, no problem. And why did you come here? He will say, you have to go to a psychiatrist because you have some other problem. If everything is all right, you don't go and complain. Only when things go wrong, you complain. So when do you complain? Do you complain when you're happy? You never complain when you're happy. You only complain when you're unhappy. So that is one way of looking at it, which goes to say that your original nature is happiness. And there are other examples we have discussed many times. Coil spring of 4 feet height. If I compress it to 1 foot, there will be pressure. Then when I release it to 2 feet, the pressure is reduced but still there. When I release it to 4 feet, there is no pressure. Why there is pressure? Because it's not in its original state. Till it comes back to its original state, there won't be there will be pressure till it comes. Once you reach that original state, no more pressure. Because in original state, you will be happy. That's your original state. Therefore, whenever you go out of your original state, beyond that original state, you will be going through all this depression and everything. So therefore, Vedanta says, your original nature is happiness. and achieving that is your only mission. Unfortunately, because you lack clarity, you are meandering in all directions. And once you get that vision from Vedanta, then you go in that direction. Now, when you go there, it is not something that you lost to find it. You are already the self. You are already that Akhandananda. But due to ignorance, you are imagining yourself to be this flesh, bone and blood from head to toe, the personality whose name is XYZ. So you are imagining yourself to be that because of the ignorance of your true nature. And once you think you are limited, then you will obviously be running into the world to find, limitless joy. So therefore, it is not a question of losing to find it. It's a question of being but not knowing. So therefore, you can never achieve the Atma through action or any other means. Because through action, you can only find something that is lost. Here the case is not that you are lost. You are still the original, same unbroken bliss. But you do not know. Therefore, here, the primary factor is knowledge. You need to gain knowledge so that you can reclaim that I am Atma. You are Atma even when you thought yourself to be this limited individual. Therefore, knowledge is what we need to gain. But the knowledge will establish only in a person who is prepared well. A person who is not prepared well, this knowledge will not get established. So that is why, though we have been studying for so many years, simultaneously I keep on emphasizing that disciplines are very, very important. Even in the previous verse, 15th mantra that I did last week, it says Satya Dharma, yeah, the disciplines. Because I've gone through those disciplines, I deserve that. So only in a clean, quiet, sattvic mind does the knowledge establish itself. In a rajasic and tamasic mind, the knowledge does not get established. Therefore, simultaneously, we need to prepare. Or first prepare well, then come to knowledge and continue the other sadhanas so that the knowledge gets established. Therefore, karma, upasana, all these are there for mental purification. And a purified mind, when it takes to knowledge, realizes the self through dhyana. It's the process. So this karma and upasana, karma is what you do with your body, especially hands, and then organ of speech. And upasana is that which you do to your mind, the sadhanas. So karma and upasana are done for purification purpose only. But unfortunately, some of us get involved in these processes itself. So if you do karma, the result of karma is, you will, after your physical death, you will maximum go up to Pitruloka or Devaloka. And then, once the effect of all your punya is over, you will again come back according to your, prarabdha, you will be born next. If you do upasana, the maximum phalam is, you go beyond the worlds of Devaloka, maximum up to Brahmaloka. But even worlds up to Brahmaloka, you can come back. So, karma and upasana has different results in this sense, but they are all results of coming back. But our idea is what? Not to go to any loka, enjoy that and come back. No. We want to get rid of the samsara fully. Then you have to do karma and upasana as sadhana, as yoga. So karma as karma yoga, upasana as upasana yoga. So when you do them as yoga, then what happens is your mind achieves chitta shuddhi, chitta vishalataha and chitta ekagrataha. Or simply put, it's called as sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. What is that? Viveka, vairagya, samadhishat sampati and then mumukshatva. Viveka means clarity, discrimination. between what is permanent, what is impermanent. Nitya anitya viveka vichara. That is called viveka. When you are clear what is permanent, what is impermanent. So that is viveka, knowledge, clarity. Then vairagya. Now, when you know that this is impermanent and that is permanent, you will develop vairagya towards impermanence. Even if I am promised the rare jewel in the world, some variety of diamond or a platinum, I say you keep it here. If it's helpful for me to reach Atma, it's okay. Otherwise, you keep it. What is the big use? That's called Vairagya. Somebody gave a mala to Hanumanji, he put it to his ears. It did not say Ram, so he threw it. If it's not going to say Ram, what's the use for me? Why should I keep it? So therefore, that Vairagya is another important quality. So do not have Vairagya, you won't absorb. It's difficult. You know, there are people achieve great things because of Vairagya. One gentleman apparently was not getting seat in engineering college for some reasons. So he took that as Vairagya, took a big thing, and then he said, he worked hard and he made so much money, and he said, I will start the engineering college. So Vairagya towards the world should be there as a result of your Viveka. So Viveka, Vairagya. And then Shamadhi Shakka Sampat. Shama Dhamma means mind control, sense control, lots of six things he talked about. Shama Dhamma, Uparama, Shraddha, Titiksha, Samadhi, Samadhanam, all these qualities. And then finally, Mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means burning desire to liberate. Meaning what? From one of the priorities, self becomes your only priority. That is called Mumukshatva. Nothing else matters to me. Jitna jaldi, I can get rid of this samsara, I'll get rid of it. Because you started feeling the pangs of being bound here. We are comfortable. Therefore, we want to study more, we want to do these things, that thing, so that we feel that we are doing something spiritual. But if you are really feeling that you are bound, you will say, I don't want anything, I just want to get rid of this bondage. That's all. So that is called Mumukshatva. So when you do karma as yoga, karma yoga, upasana as upasana yoga, you get sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. You become qualified to gain the knowledge. Then with that kind of a prepared mind, when you gain the knowledge will make you transform and become the Atma. This is what he said so far. 14 ducks he said. Some people get involved in the sadhanas, should not get involved. Without getting involved, if you do, you will get the prayojanam and then you realize the self. Now, verses 15, 16, 17, Swamiji calls it as drama of self-realization. Now, I said these verses can also be interpreted in two levels. Now, here there is one more thing you need to understand. Now, if a person does karma as karma yoga, and upasana as upasana yoga, and it does it together. It's called samuchaya. So when a person does samuchaya, he becomes qualified to gain knowledge, and he'll gain knowledge here and realize the self here itself. Such people are called jivan muktas. But for some reason, for some kind of obstacle, if somebody did not pursue knowledge here, but he's done enough karma yoga and upasana yoga combined, so when that person dies, what happens? He will go to Brahmaloka as a result of his punya. But in this case, from Brahmaloka, he will not come back. In the all other cases, he will come back. But in this case, he will not come back from Brahmaloka. In Brahmaloka, he will gain the knowledge and from there he will realize. That is called Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means liberation in stages. Actually, the Shastra talks about these things. But Shastra actually wants to tell us, don't follow the method of Krama Mukti. You better follow direct method. Why unnecessarily to some other route? No delay, nothing. Therefore, it wants to talk about Kaivalya Mukti only, which is direct liberation. But it does talk about Krama Mukti also. So, a Upasaka who has not come to knowledge in this Janma will go through Brahmaloka and realize. But a Upasaka who has come to knowledge, through knowledge he realizes himself, here itself he attains Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means liberating while alive. There is another school of thought which is called Videha Mukti. Videha Mukti concept, what it talks about is, you can only liberate, realize, once you have given up the body. It's called Videha Mukti. But Adi Shankara and all argues against this and says, if that be the case, then all the knowledges we have, all the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, everything, is second hand information. It's not their first hand experience. Therefore he says, no, Jivan Mukta is a possibility. So when we exhaust our Sanchita Vasana, we become Jivan Muktas. But the Prarabdha Vasana continues, so a person continues to live. That is why they say, Mahatmas can be following any different lifestyle, doesn't matter. Somebody like Saint Tyagaraya was singing and singing and singing because his Prarabdha Karma was such. Somebody like Ramana Maharishi was quiet. Somebody like Ram Sita was lecturing, like Vivekananda was lecturing. There may be, there are in Shastras, there are stories of somebody being a butcher. So, the lifestyle can be varied. But as far as they are concerned, they are realized. Now, they will continue in the body because of Prarabdha. And finally, that body also dies. And then, complete merger happens. They become Videha Muktas. This is a concept. So, in 15, he said, like I said, 15th mantra, 16th mantra and all can be interpreted in both ways. It could be said, it is a Upasaka who is doing this prarthana, or it is a Jnani who is doing the prarthana. If it's a Jnani, then he will do prarthana to realize the self, so that there should be no obstacles while I am pursuing the path. If it's Upasaka, he will be praying for the journey up to Brahmaloka. He should not want any obstacles in between. Prarthana, you basically do. Why? Because you understand that any amount of effort you do, though it's very, very important, still there are many factors which are not under your control. So you pray and say, there should be no disturbances. By the grace of God, we have completed few books. We've gone through the books once, Bhagavad Gita and few other texts. So if God's grace is there and we putting in effort, we will sail through and go through this book also. So therefore we pray that there should be no obstacles. I am sincerely trying to study these things. So my mind should not get distracted here and there. So I do the prarthana. So here they are doing the prarthana. So he says, Shiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Apihitam Mukam. So first Upasaka. If you take it as Upasaka, then what is he praying for? Going to Brahmalok. I don't want any obstacles in between. So, Satyasya Apihitam Mukam. Here, Satyasya Apihitam Mukam means Satya means Satya Loka, where Brahmaji lives, Brahmaloka. So, the Mukam, the entrance, the face of Brahma's world is covered by what? Hiranmayena, the golden disc. Hiran means the gold. Shining, bright. This path that takes you to Brahmaloka is called Shukla Gatihi. The path that will take you to heaven and bring you back is called Krishna Gatihi. You understand? That's called the Krishna Gati. Krishna Gati means path of return. Shukla Gati means path of non-return. Path of non-return means you go to Brahmaloka, gain the knowledge in Brahmaloka and realize the self. Path of non-return is you go up to certain lokas, especially Devaloka, and you come back. It's called path of return. It's called Krishna Gati. So here, the Upasaka is praying to go in Shukla Gati. You understand? So, he says, the Shukla Gati, the Devata of the Shukla Gati is Surya. That's why it's called Path of Sun. So, by his, powerful rays and heat and all that, he is making sure that nobody who is not qualified enters him. So, he is praying. He says, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Atitam Mukam. This path to that Brahmalok is covered by this golden disk. So the face of that Brahmalok is covered by this golden disk. So tat tvam, you should remove that. O Pushan, O Sun God, you should remove that. He says, apavrinam, remove that. Why I am saying this? Because I am Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. I have done enough upasana to get to Satya Loka. So I have done enough upasana to get to Satya Loka. Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye va jate. I want to experience you, the Devata, the Brahmaji, the Brahma. Therefore, you must make my path easy. This is how the verse is interpreted for upasana. If it is jnani, then the sun is taken to be the symbol of Brahman. So he is appealing to that symbol, saying lots and lots of attractions, including the attractions of the last thought itself. See, when you travel in spiritual field, tremendous powers you get. Tremendous powers. In fact, they talk about Ashtama Siddhi and all. So, once you get these powers, you can get stuck there. Because problem is, imagine if when we talk about Devaloka and Brahmaloka, the happiness also is supposed to be more superior there. So if the happiness is X here, in Devaloka or Swargaloka, it will be X to the power of 5. If you go to Brahmaloka, it's X to the power of 525 or 525. Whatever you want to add, you say, you say. It's superior, that's all it means. Now, if the experience joy is X, then itself we get involved. If it is X to the power, it's more tempting, difficult to come out. So the X to the power of 525,000, almost impossible to get out of it. Therefore, lot of people in spiritual field, they get involved. He says, all these attractions, I should not get involved. I should just focus. So, you must help me. So, he says, Kiran Mayena Pasana. Here, Satyasya Apihita Mukham. Here, Satya means the truth, the face of truth, Brahman, not Brahma Loka. So, the face of truth is covered by a golden disc. O Sun, O Ocean, O Lord Sun, who is taken as a symbol of Brahman, remove it so as to be seen by me, who is of the nature of truth. I have done enough dharmas, you know, yajna, dana, tapa, jo karna main kar chuka hu. Therefore, I deserve, you should remove all the obstacles. The same thought process continues next verse. Now, the same prasana is continuing. Again, this can be interpreted in both the ways. Either as a upasaka or as a jnana yogi. Pushan. Pushan means nourisher, which is sun god. Sun nourishes everything. So therefore, he is called as Pushan. Sun permeates the vegetation and everything. And it gives us the nourishment. The vitality. So it says Pushan and then Ekarsha. Ekarsha means one who travels alone, sole traveler. Sun is one sun traveling alone, Ekarsha. And then that sun is a witness to all that is going on. So Ekarsha. Yama. Yama means controller. It controls all the activities, isn't it? If we are able to conduct these classes, because we've got the vitality, everything from the sun. So sun is taken to be the controller, Yama. Surya. Sikaranat Surya. Surya means one who absorbs all the water. You know. So, Surya absorbs everything. The very powerful rays absorbs everything. Prajapatya. Son of Prajapati. So he says, all these are adjectives. you know, if you want something, even if you want something from king, you just don't go and say, I've come for this, please give me. Nothing will happen. So you go and praise him, nobody like you, you are the best of the best. And you know, you look so beautiful today. Here also people talk like that, you know. Oh, you look so beautiful, you know, all that kind of a thing. So you have to do all that. So that's what he's doing. But he's not doing for any favor. He's already done a lot of things and he's appealing. He wants something higher. Here it's not a demand for something lower. So he's saying, Pushan, Ekarshi, Yama, Surya, Prajapatya, all these things having said, he's now coming to the point. What? Osan, soul traveler, controller, acquirer, son of Prajapati. What? Do remove thy rays and gather up thy rays, dazzle. You know? And the path to the Brahmaloka is protected by the sun god with all his rays. If you just look at the sun, after some time you cannot see anything. It's so powerful. So, these dazzling things you should withdraw so that I can see the Devata. That's the Upasaka's prayer. So he says, do remove thy rays and gather up thy dazzle. I behold that form of thine. Then he says, I behold that form of thine, that being, that is most auspicious. That is most auspicious. Kalyan. Then he says, Saha Aham. Soham Asti. Now, when the Upasaka, Soham Saha Aham appears to be the prayer of a jnani. But here, when it is interpreted as upasaka, soham asmi means as a particular upasana. It's called aham graha upasana. Of all the upasanas, that is considered to be the highest. Where you aham graha upasana means what? You consider that devata as yourself. So it's bhav, it's not jnana. So if it's jnana, then it's jnana. If it's bhav, it's kalpitam. You know, it's manasa kalpitam, imagination. So you install. As I was telling the other day, after this Upanishad is over, before we get on to some other Upanishad, in between I thought we'll do Vishnu Sahasranama. When we do Vishnu Sahasranama, there is something called as nyasam. You understand? So, nyasam means what? Installation. And dhyana means visualization. So, before they start Vishnu Sahasranamam chanting, they do nyasam, installation, and dhyanam, visualization. So, nyasam is what? You install that God in your personality, in your body. So, when you say something, you say guru, you touch the head. When you say chandas, you touch between nose and the lips. The chandas is a meter. That's also considered to be devata. So the chandas devata should be here. The guru should be here. You know, and then when you talk about devata of that particular sasranama, in this case it is Devaki Nandana Shri Krishna Narayana, then you touch the heart. You know, like that, you are basically installing the devata in you. So here, when they say ahamgraha upasana, you do upasana as you are that Hiranyagarbha. This is Manasa Kalpita. It's considered to be the highest upasana. So, basically, they do this upasana. So, for that, they are saying, you should give me way to get back to that loka. So, he says, I behold the form of thine, that being, Brahmaji, that is most auspicious, he am I. This is the interpretation for Upasaka. But if it is for Jnani, instead of Devata Swarupam, it is the real Swarupam, Tattva Swarupam of the person who is praying. So he says, O Sun, all these are now what adjectives of the symbol representing Brahman. O Sun, soul traveler, all that. Now remove the rays and gather up thy dazzle. Especially when a person comes to the last stage, now that temptation to realize the self, that itself becomes an obstacle. So remove that so that I can see. So initial struggle is there when the ego is being lost, but slowly he becomes, in other words, imagine a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. That transformation stage is there. The transformation stage is a big struggle. This the masters understand. To drop that and take that higher, not easy. So, that struggle is being portrayed here. That's why it's called the drama of realization. So, here the Shishya is praying, sincerely saying that that's it. I'm not able to, you know, take it. It's too much. But as he prays and as he gets the grace, slowly he's able to digest that higher experience. So he says, I behold that form. Slowly he becomes qualified. That being, that is the most auspicious. What is that? Saha ham. That and me are one and the same. Saha means he. Aham. Saham. It's called soham. Soham means saha aham. He and me are one and the same. He has realized the self. That's what it means. Through the prayer, he prayed to the Lord. He said, please remove the obstacles. And then he realized it. Now this is verse number 16. Now verse number 17. Again, it is interpreted for Upasaka also. It is interpreted for Jnani also. First, let us see Jnani's prayer. Or verse number 17 is Jnani's prayer. Then we will see Upasaka's prayer. Next verse.
Vayuranilamabhrasamathedam hasmān sargum sharīram Om krato smara krita gusmara krato smara krita gusmara.
Vayuhu anilaha amrutam. Vayur anilam amrutam. Vayuhu means the air, prana inside us. Anilam means the prana in samashti, in the total. So he says, now this breath be returned to immortal air. Means what? From the total air, little bit we have arrogated for ourselves. From the total air, little bit we have arrogated for ourselves. From the total fire, little bit we have arrogated for ourselves. From the total water, we have arrogated for ourselves little bit. Similarly, from the total space, we are occupying little space. Now he is handing over all that back. Mera purpose idhar khatam ho chuka hai. Abhi main aapko wapas de raha. You know, that's what it is. So he says, now this breath be returned to the immortal air. Vyashti samashti. So the individual who's arrogated the little bit of air, the breath, is now, he's saying, let it go and merge with the total. He's giving up. So he says, now this breath be returned to immortal air, this body be reduced to ashes. Basmantam shariram. This body, the earth, which has been occupying some earth now. So he's now saying, let the earth merge with earth. Let the air merge with air. So you say water, fire, everything also. Here only two is being said. So he says, Vayu Anilam Amurtam Adedam Vasmantam Tandum Shariram. All this is being written. Om Kratosmara Kratagum Smara Kratosmara Kratagum Smara. What it means? He's saying, O mind, Krato, one Krato can be taken as fire god. Another krato can be taken as mind. Both the meanings are there. So krato smara. See, whatever actions we do, who is the witness for that? Fire god. For all our rituals, fire is the witness. Marriage also, you know, fire. You go around the fire, marriage over here. So for everything there is fire as a witness. So he is saying, you are a witness for all my karma. You know, you remember, you have got the accounts of fire god. You know what all I have done. I got up in the morning, I studied, then I did my yoga, then I did my puja, then I did my this thing, that thing. Everything that I'm supposed to have done, and you are a witness to that. Krato smara. Kritagum smara. You remember all that I did. Then he's appealing to the mind. Oh mind, remember that Brahman only. Because that is what you were doing your tapas for. You know, this is after realization. Because in the previous verse, it's a realization hobia. I already covered this. When you have realized the self, you are called what? Jivan Mukta. Now this one is talking about from Jivan Mukta, now he's going to Videha Mukta stage. Okay. What is that? After Jivan Mukta, due to Prarabdha, he was existing. Now Prarabdha is coming to an end. He realizes that. So now, he is not at all afraid of death. You know, Swami Ramtirtha in Himalayas, in Rishikesh, you have Ramtirtha Gufa. It's actually no Gufa. It is few rocks. Inside there is some space where Swami Ramtirtha was living. Now when we get there, we get scared. It's on the banks of Ganges. How he lived 100 years ago, I don't know. And every day, he used to swim, you know, this side and that side of the Ganges, he goes and swims. And one day, the current was high. So, he wrote, "Oh death, if you wish to take this body, take it." And then he plunged into the water. He actually gave up his body that day. He didn't come back. So like that, here the student is writing. He's saying, let this breath merge back to the portal. Let this earth merge back to the portal. He is now getting ready to attain Videha Mukti. That is what is being symbolized here. So he's saying, now this breath be returned to immortal air, this body be reduced to ashes. Om, O fire god, remember what has been done, what all I have done. And O mind, remember that Brahman only. Because you remember in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita we studied, at the time of death, whatever thought you get there. And at the time of death, to remember the divinity is not easy. You will remember all kinds of things, divinity naya aayega. Everything else other than divinity will be. So, in fact, in the 8th chapter, the main question that Arjuna asks, 7 questions he asks. The 7th question is this, what is that? How are you known at the time of death by the self-control? That is his question. Antakale cha mameva sarang mukva kalevaram. Sri Krishna answers, antakalam. When antakala comes, you have to remember divinity. Not easy. So, therefore, he says, O mind, think of that Brahman only, nothing else. Antakalecha mameva. So he's thinking of the Brahman and giving up the body and realizing. This is the interpretation for a jnani, from the jnani point of view. From the jnani point of view. So vayu ranilam amurtam ateram pasman tadum shariram. This first line, merging slowly one by one. And then, O fire god, remember my deeds. O mind, remember all that, all the tapas you did, for what purpose? For that Brahman. So at the time of death, also you think of that Brahman and merge with Brahman. Now the same thing, if it's upasana, what will happen? What he is doing is, he also realizes that I have neared my death. I'm about to die. So now, my body is not cooperating. So, he's saying, let the air go back. Let the fire, earth go back. Let all this go back. But oh fire god, you know, all the upasanas that I have done. All the upasanas I have done, you know. You are the sakshi. Nobody else. You are the sakshi. So, you remember my deeds. And oh mind, you also think of that devata only. Don't think of anything else. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam is this. In verse number 6. Verse number 5 of chapter 8 is Antakalecha Mameva Smaran Mukta Kaleva. Verse 6 of chapter 8 is Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam. So there are stories in our, culture. Janabharata, for example. At the time of death, he fell in love with a deer. So you're constantly thinking of the deer, he said, to be born as a deer in the next generation. So at the time of death, whatever bhav you have, accordingly you'll be born. So let the bhav be of that devata, so that I'll be born in that loka. That is the prasana of the upasaka. So in the case of upasaka, it is the, he said, all I've been doing is what? I've been mentally remembering only of the devata. You are the sakshi for that. Oh my, now also think of that devata. This is how the upasaka prays. There is a jnani, he will say, all my life I've been thinking of the Brahman. Now I should think of the Brahman. That's the difference. Nothing else. But in this, what is the very inspiring thing is, we should draw some things from these verses and use it in our practical life. What is this body? This body is like a tire which is pumped with little air. Every time when you're traveling, you check the air pressure and it's gone down to thoda sa jyada down. So like that, all these five elements. What is outside is also five elements. What is here also five elements. But somehow you've got the feeling that I'm separate from it. You understand? So this, which I have been arrogating to myself, that's also empty. This thought should elevate us actually, if you really understand. If you really want to grow, not only spiritually, even materially also, especially spiritually, it is not about amassing or aggrandizing. It is about dissolving and disowning and letting go. To grow, you need to let go. But it's not easy. You just cannot let go. It's very difficult. Very difficult. You can't let go. But you really grow when you let go. This is what the story is also talking about. And Draupadi called for Sri Krishna when she was being disrobed in the parliament. She held on to her sari with one hand and then she called him. He didn't come. When she threw up both her arms and called him, he came. Instantly came. Gajendra Moksha also same thing. So, an elephant was caught by the crocodile. Only when full surrender, he comes. So basically, even if there is an ounce of I, merely the throne is there, that king, throne is there. That means, still that ego is there. It's like saying, I'll put only one drop of poison first. 25,000 liter of milk, eight drop of poison, dalke mein sabko toda toda de. And in the sub, you are also what? Will you drink that? One drop also is poison only. So, therefore, even an ounce of ego, if it is left, you won't know the truth. The truth will be seen only when the I is completely dissolved. Swami Ramakrishna says, God and mammon, you cannot serve both. Either serve the mammon or God. So, if it is that you want, then you have to completely let go of the lower. Even in the worldly level, it is the same thing. You know that girl, what's her name? Badminton player. Sindhu, P.V. Sindhu. When she won that silver medal in Olympics, after that she was interviewed. She said, her coach, Gopichand, he took away her mobile phone, everything, no ice cream, nothing. She said, now I can enjoy my ice cream. So the way to achieve is through sacrifice. But unwise people, how they think is, the way to achieve is by aggrandizing, acquiring, amassing. Ulta, completely ulta. Completely ulta. You will not let go. You will let go of everything, but you want to, you will not let go of the power of it. power, I should have the power. You understand? So, to the extent that ego is there, that akhandanandam you don't enjoy. It's a tough thing. So, that's what we learn here. To finally, even, why am I even arrogating this little bit of air and little bit of earth and fire and water and space? Oh, beautiful. Nothing. Complete merger. You know. So that's the thing. He wants you fully, but we are giving in bits and pieces. So, Vayur Anilam Amrtam Adedam Pasmam Tattum Shariram. You read this verse, it should come to you that you do not want to arrogate anything for yourself. Sarvam Krishnarpanam. Everything is Krishna's only, including this body. Why should I arrogate anything? You know, this thought, if you understand and dwell on it, will purify you even more. So that's how you should understand all these verses in your study. Of course, he's talking about the fellow who is high level, Upasaka, Jnani. May not be at that level, but at least this inspiration we can do. Why do I want to? Firstly, let me get rid of all the unnecessary things from them. And secondly, even these necessary things, I understand, I am a trustee. They are actually belonging to God. Mera nahi hai. So this body is necessity. I am okay for realization. Once realization, okay, what will I do? Hand over. I don't need it. So calm ho gaya. This thing is over, you should hand over and go on. That's all he said. Katosparak, katagumsparak, katosparak, katagumsparak. Upanishad is going to come to an end also when the repetition is coming. And also, like I said, for everything that we do in our culture, agni is the witness. I don't think there is nobody. All your karmas are all accounted. All there. So if you deserve it, nobody can take it. So with the strength, he is praying, saying, please give me that experience, a supreme experience. Next verse.
Agnenaya supadharaye asman vishwani deva vayunani vidvan yuryodhyasmat juhuraname no bhuyishtham te nama uktim vidhema.
Agni Bhagwan, O God fire, O fire God. He says, O Lord, knowing all deeds, lead us by the good path to wealth. Again, like I said, it could be Upasaka or Jnani. So if it's Upasaka, good path to wealth means Brahmaloka. If it's Jnani, good path to wealth means what wealth? Spiritual wealth. Not material wealth. Understand? Good path to wealth. Supata. Supata raye. Supata means good path. What is good for me? What is good for me is dissolution of vasanas. What is not good for me is going on adding more and more vasanas. This is the problem. So therefore, he says, O fire God, you have been the Sakshi. O Lord, you know that. What? You are an all-knowing person. You know all my deeds. O Lord, knowing all my deeds, lead us. Now, the selfishness also is dropped. Instead of lead me, he's saying lead us. All of us who've been striving. The word us also could mean including the Guru. By the good path to wealth. Vaye, real wealth is from the absolute angle, only knowledge of the self. Everything else is not wealth. Real only wealth is spiritual wealth. All other wealth are something that should help you to get to that wealth. But our approach today is to get lost in those wealths. So he says, good path to wealth. Then he says, remove from us the cupid sin. See, knowingly, unknowingly, I might have done something. I might have done what I am not supposed to do. I might have avoided what I am supposed to. Doing what you are not supposed to do is called what? Commission. And not doing what you are supposed to do is called omission. So both for commissions and omissions, I'll have to pay the price. So he is praying, let not my, you know, small sins come in the way. You should be there to protect me from all that. So he says, remove from us this crooked sin. All this Zuhurana. No. These are all things that we have collected over a period of time. Is recall. We, through our own actions, have created a lot of obstacles for us. Delaying, basically. All this delay. See, actually, when you look at it from the Bhakta's angle, how they put it is, God is waiting for you more than you waiting for God. That's how they put it in the Bhakti angle. He is actually waiting. Why this fellow should have come yesterday itself? Why he still not come? That is how he is feeling, it seems. But we, from our angle, what we are thinking is, God doesn't care for us. But he is actually waiting for our arrival. But what is delaying? His papas are delayed. So he says, remove from us this crooked skin. We offer thee many words of salutation. See, a person who is in the deathbed, he cannot get up and then do namaskar. Understand? So he is saying, I am doing words of salutation. You must imagine, this is a prayer of a person who is about to die. Whether it is Upasaka or Jnani. So body is not, will not be in a position to do sashtanga namaskara. So he is saying, we offer thee many words of salutation. So, finally he is saying, even if there are certain sins, you should remove that and take us to the path of good. Now see, why all this? Because in spite of all our efforts, Maya is too powerful. Too powerful. Not at all easy. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse number 3, or Upanishad also, which we saw before, he says, among thousands of people who strive for perfection, rare indeed one achieves perfection. Sorry. Like this, among thousands of men, one will strive for perfection. Among few who strive for perfection, one will achieve perfection. That's what it says. Now, why it says so? Because to be able to understand that all these are impermanent and this will not get me there, itself is impossible for many of us. I know of one gentleman, he's a nice fellow, very nice person, but he has one problem. What is that? Anything anybody gives away, he will take it. Opposing newspaper. He's a well-to-do person, he's not a person who doesn't have money giving at all. Not that he's putting all that to Kabadiwala and getting money. He's having enough money. I know him. But his problem is, supposing you give up something, it's not working, I don't get. He says, oh, you're throwing this away. Meraku. He'll take it. And I've not been to his house. Somebody told me who went to his house. All full of these kind of newspapers, this, that, stuff, which, whatever. I don't want. He'll take it. He's ready to take it. So, our mind, what is the nature of the mind? To get attached to what we do not have, and get attached to what we have and crave for what we do not have. This is the problem. The mind will crave for what you do not have. And it will get attached to what you have. First it will say, I don't have it, please, I must get it. Once you get it, you get attached. This is the problem. Problem with the mind. So what do you have to do? You have to rise above the mind. Otherwise it's not easy to become detached from this impermanent aspect. That's why he says, among thousands of men, one will strive for perfection. We will know this when we see the number of participants. You understand? Not easy. It's very tough. This going in spiritual path is not easy. So, of the people who strive, rare one fellow achieves. Means it requires that much of dedication, sincerity, consistency. So, these kind of obstacles come and they take some other route. So much of alertness has to be. This is what Swami Vishwamitra is trying to teach us. Vishwamitra, he could have taken care of 25,000 Menakas. But he purposely fell for earth to tell us that be careful. And similarly, there is another story, interesting story. I think the Muni's name is Narayan Muni. He was sitting and meditating for years together. And Indra gets jittery because once when somebody does so much tapas, they'll, due to their punya, they'll become Indra next. He'll lose his position. He will not be Indra anymore. So he has few people, he'll keep sending them. So Ramba, Urvashi, Tilotama, all this are there. So he sent Menaka to his Vishwamitra and to Narayan Muni, I believe he sent Urvashi. So she came and danced all that. Narayan Muni opened his eyes. And you know, he's been doing meditation for long, so he's not taken bath. So he takes little dirt from his body and, you know, flings it on the ground. When the dirt falls on the ground, another Urvashi comes. What it means is their tapas is so much that they can take care of all this nonsense. But they are trying to tell you that it's not easy. The temptations are not at all easy. Very tough. So, therefore these prayers make sense. Otherwise this makes no sense. He says, lead us to the path of good. That wealth, which is permanent. The irony is, all those impermanent aspects are all considered very, very expensive. Huh? All that are really permanent and good for you, very cheap. Very cheap. Actually speaking, you must remember that verse 69 of chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. Dhanisha Sarva Bhutana. That verse you must remember. That which is day for the realized soul is night for us. That which is night for him is day for us. Ulta, sapput ulta. What do we value? We will value somehow when they're still in this corona. Of course we should. Somehow I must live. Okay? What did you do living all these years? What value addition you are going to do to this world by living one more day? You are praying that I wish to live for one more day or two more days or few more years. What is the value addition you are going to do to the family, to the world, to yourself? Do we think like that? Somehow I must live. For what? So that I can enjoy everything that the world gives. What kind of a mentality is this? We should think, wherever I go, you know, like cloud, beautiful, beautiful poem it is, Daffodils by William Wordsworth. He says, I wandered lonely as a cloud. I wandered lonely as a cloud. He says, cloud. Why he says cloud? Because cloud, wherever it goes, it gives rain. and then lonely he is. This is what I can wander with groups. You know, like you have these bike groups. Every Saturday, Sunday, I see them all bikes going on in bikes, everybody. And then cycle. And there's another group, jogging, walking. So, going in groups, Vedanta also groups. No. Alone means no attachment. I wandered lonely. And wandering means not attached to one place. Swamiji says, every time I come to Delhi or any city to lecture, I don't say more than 5 days. Why? Because the chances of me changing are very, changing you guys is very, very little. But you guys changing me is right. He puts it in light at a day. But the truth is, no master wants to get attached or will be attached. The biggest sign. In fact, that's why they enjoy. Attach you, lose, detach you, gain. The real joy is in detachment. Once you learn that, therefore you do not want to be attached. And the biggest problem with Indians, attachment to children. Oh my God. It's too much. Too much attachment to children. What children? Children means I am talking about 70-year-old woman or lady or a man will be attached to the 45-year-old son. Beta, be careful. So much of attachment. So, you know, it's not easy. So difficult. I may be striving, yet I may get involved. Therefore, I need tremendous blessings. So the prasana makes a lot of sense there. Because it's very easy to get distracted. All your tapas that you did for so many years, within few days you can get distracted and lose the whole thing. That's why they say, you know, Vishwamitra took so many years of tapas to attain that state. Every now and then he fell like that. So, what they are trying to tell us is, you got to not involve yourself in karma, nor in upasana, nor in dhyana also. All, even dhyana, they talk. I know one person in Pune, a doctor in Army Hospital, you know, dentist. We used to go to him when we were in the ashram studying. He apparently used to do meditation. He was talking about all his experiences during meditation. He said, not even one day I can remain without doing meditation. He's so addicted to it. The pleasure that they get, they just cannot be without it. It's an addiction. So they're involved. So, to be constantly thinking, what's the purpose of my life? Why did I come here? Why did I join this group? For what purpose? That purpose I have to achieve. So for that reason, oh God, therefore Corona say, bacha. Why? So I can live. I don't know what all I have done. Next to Janma, pata nahi whether I'll get a human body. And pata nahi even if I get a human body, whether I'll be interested in Vedanta. So this Janma, at least I have part of it. So hopefully I will realize in this Janma by putting in more effort. So I should continue. That is the idea. That is why he says, O Lord, knowing all these, lead us by the good path to wealth. Spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is, you have to put it in one word, is nothing but being a witness or objective. Becoming self. Nothing else. Once you are a witness, you enjoy everything and anything. So, this is the entire Gita Vasa Upanishad. Simple Upanishad. But beautifully covers the whole lot of things. It talks about different lokas also. By talking about those different lokas, it wants to say, do not aspire to go to any loka. This promise, that promise, we will give you that. You don't want all that. No. So, what is that you want? Be clear. If you are clear, you will get it. But the mind is not clear, it wants all kinds of things. Therefore we fall. So next week, I will do the summary of Isavasya Upanishad. And after that, we'll start Vishnu Sahasrama. So we have the humility to tell ourselves that we have not completed a text. We just started. So we'll have to continue studying the text, even though the class for this particular text may be over. So it's a tradition that we chant the first mantra of the Upanishad when we conclude. So let's chant first mantra.
Om Ishavasya Nidagum Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita Mavruda Kasya Svittanam. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Hrudyatmana Va Prakriteshva Bhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week. We will do